Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. We're talking today about calcium bentonite clay, living clay. For the benefit of any of you that are new listeners, I'm going to briefly go over what clay is. Clay is volcanic ash that has the burnout core of Mother Earth. It's inert. And it is charged, supercharged from the volcano with an electromagnetic energy and a negative ionic charge. That's a chemical charge. So it's a very strong drawing power. It adsorbs and absorbs. Now we're speaking specifically about a clay from the smectite family of clays. I'm talking about calcium bentonite clay and a clay termed living clay because though it's inert, it is capable of chemical changes. I call it biotransmutation. So this clay has this supercharge on it, and when you take it internally, it will scarp up the bad things, the toxins that we have ingested, that we ingest on a daily basis in our overcontaminated environment this day and time. And it pulls it inside the clay molecule and carries it out of the body. The clay itself is not absorbed into the bloodstream. It stays in the alimentary canal, and that's why when you're detoxing, you need to do an external detox as well as an internal detox, and we do that through clay wraps, full body wraps, and clay baths. Sometimes you can do it with a foot detox. The parts of your body that sweat where the pores open because you want to dry out. Some people do a scalp detox. Your head sweats easily. If you've ever, I watch my grandson playing basketball and at the end of the game, his little head is just wet. So we sweat, wherever those pores open, the clay is capable of pulling toxins out through the skin, through the pores of the skin. So this is what we're talking about today, and this is our Q&A time, and I do have some questions left over from last week that got in just under the wire. Jeannie Goldwire from Austin, Texas said, can clay help a recently diagnosed case of multiple sclerosis? I've never heard of clay stopping the multiple sclerosis. What it can do in any instant of health or disease is it will support the immune system. It will support the body and keep staying and balanced. And literally, in most cases, a balanced body can heal itself. We're out of balance. And clay is homeostatic, just like our body. So it wants to bring your alkalinity into balance. It's going to get rid of the toxins and bring things back into balance. So I would say indirectly, yes. Directly, it's not going to stop the disease. I doubt if it's going to slow it down, but you're going to have a stronger immunity while you're going through it. Jeannie said, I have a friend who has a bad condition of eczema or psoriasis. I'm not sure which. He has patches of rough ears and says it's on the lower back above the buttocks area. Well, clay is very beneficial for eczema and psoriasis. He can apply it topically to the area. We had an 83-year-old lady recently who literally had eczema from her feet up to the scalp, and she wouldn't go in public anymore because she said her skin looked like elephant hide, and it was so ugly she just wouldn't go out in public. She used to, 83 and walks a mile a day, and she gave up her walking. Her daughter took her some clay, and in 3 days' time, she gave her 3 hot clay baths, would get her out of the bath, rub her body down with a extra virgin coconut oil, and I imagine you could use castor oil or olive oil, wrapped her in a towel, put her in a warm towel and put her in bed for 2 hours with the oil on there. And at the end of the third day, she was always also taking it internally, drinking the clay. At the end of the third day, she woke up the next morning and all this scaly, dried skin had just fallen away and she had fresh, beautiful skin underneath. She even said that summer she went to a family reunion and wore a sleeveless blouse, and she would never do that before then. She'd always wear long sleeves to cover up the scaliness all over her body. So, yes, it will help with it. Jeannie also asked, I know someone who is beginning to have macular degeneration. Can clay alleviate this condition? I'm really not certain. We haven't had much research. Here's the thing. It won't hurt to try it. Macular degeneration affects the retina in the eye, but you can put a poultice over the closed eyelid, and it's very soothing to the eyes. And we have had a case where a gentleman was doing a clay facial for a birthmark every day, and at the end of 3 months, and while he would do it, he'd put it over his eyes, and he would just lay down and relax for, 30, 40 minutes. And at the end of 3 months, he noticed he didn't need his glasses anymore, that his vision had come back. He told his 80-year-old brother about it. His brother started doing the same thing, and the same thing happened to him. So you're going to get other benefits. It's very relaxing. I know when I have eye allergies and my eyelids get inflamed and itchy, and I rub on my eyes, the only thing that takes the itch away is the cleansing clay mask, the ratio of 1 to 3. It's like sour cream. Just taking a glob, closing my eye, and filling that whole eye cavity and laying down for about 15 minutes. And oftentimes after I do that, I'll notice a lot of sometimes little stringy stuff, white stuff coming out of the eye, or a little white stuff collecting in the corner of my eye. So it won't hurt. And with that, let's see, I believe we have another question. I'm going to go to my Q&A page. Again, this is Perrier. Welcome to Q&A with Perrier about living clay, calcium bentonite clay. And, yes, we have some questions here. Linda Hagen from Washington. I don't know the name of that town, so I won't try to say it. A friend of mine drinks liquid clay every day. I bought some of the living clay and would like to know how to measure it out to make a liquid I can store and put in my energy drink. How much of that mixture should I put in my juice drink every day? Very good question. I'm currently working on a little booklet that concises the protocols and has it very specific how to make it. Linda, the easiest way is to take you to livingclayco.com. Go to the sitemap, click on mixing directions, and at the bottom of the page, not only are there mixing directions, there's a video showing you how to make the liquid. But I'm going to walk you through it. For 16 ounces of clay, that's 16 ounces of water, that's 2 cups of water, you want to add, let me get over here in my mixing directoration because I'm increasing this and I don't want to give his directions wrong. I had it all written out here for this new thing and now I've forgotten what it is. Okay, 1/2 cup of clay to 1.5 cups of water. I'm sorry, that's the 1 to 3 ratio. Well, I'm just not very explicit today, am I? Sorry for the confusion. We want to use a 1 to 8 ratio of clay to water, so 1 part of clay to 8 parts of water. So for 1/4 cup of clay, add that to 16 ounces of water in a 20-ounce container because you need shaking room, and it needs to be glass or plastic with a plastic lid. You don't want to store clay in anything metal. Shake it rigorously. You want to get all the lumps out. Shake it real good. And this will allow it to emulsify and swell and expand. This will make 16 ounces of the pre-mixed liquid clay that you can keep in a container on your shelf. And I've kept it as long as 3 months. Clay is inert. It doesn't spoil unless you get some contaminant in there. Now, I live by myself, and I have my own bottle of clay, and I just walk by and drink it out of the bottle. But you'll need a little funnel to put the clay into a bottle. So get you a little funnel and take your 1/4 cup of clay and, gently on the side of the clay, let it down into the funnel, then shake it real good, and you're good to go with 16 ounces. Now, if you want to increase that to 32 ounces, you just take, you can double that recipe, a half a cup of clay to 4 cups of water. And you'll have 32 ounces of liquid clay. And that will be about a 32 ounce, well, taking 2 ounces a day. This is your general detox and cleanse routine. When you start, you want to take 2 ounces twice a day for 14 days. This will get rid of parasites. It will cleanse the toxins out. And then you want to back off and find your maintenance level, which is usually 1 to 2 ounces a day, depending on how toxic you are, what type of environment you're in, and your age as well. So there's no specific rule of thumb. Just play with it and find where it works best for you. The general rule of thumb is if you're not getting the results you want, you need to kick it up a notch. And you can go a long way before you overdose on clay. It's 25% of your body weight. I don't think any of us can consume that much if we had to. So go to livingclayco.com, mixing directions, and all this is spelled out there for you and even shown on a demo how to do that and how to do your bath, how to mix the clay for a bath water. All right, and you can add that to your juice. You just put, if you're doing a general detox and cleanse, 2 ounces twice a day. If you're doing a heavy metal detox, if you know you have a heavy metal, if you've been tested and you want to lower them, you want to do 3 ounces twice a day. Plus take the clay baths for the heavy metals. Sandra in Denver, how do you use bentonite clay to treat acne? I use it as a mask. Is there more I can do? Yes, Sandra, very good question. You definitely want to use it as a mask. You want to take the 1-to-3 ratio of clay. That's the cleansing clay mask that's about the consistency of sour cream and put it on your face. You know, sometimes on the weekends I put a pretty thick application on, let it dry and wash it off. Other times at night I will put a thin application on, let it dry and just sleep with it on. If you put it on thick, you're going to wake up with clay crumbs in your bed, so that's why to put it on thin. It will really stick to your skin and draw. And I just love how my skin feels after a clay mask. There's blood flow and circulation to the area. Your skin is baby soft when you wash it off because there is an exfoliation. In the wintertime, it may appear a little dry and you may need a good face cream with it. But generally, it gets, after about 2 uses, 2 masks, if you haven't done any for a long time, it will exfoliate all that dry skin, get rid of it, and your skin will be baby soft. Now, you want to take it internally. Our skin is a reflection of what's going on and what's out of balance in our body. So when we have outbreaks, it's a reflection of our diet, the toxins, the oiliness of our bodies. So drinking the clay, got a 9.7 pH. Most people with acne have extremely acidic condition in their body. They're very acid. My brother had childhood acne when he was younger, and he couldn't wear anything silver because it would turn black overnight. That's how acidic his skin was. And so I would drink the clay 2 ounces twice a day, more if needed. If you know you're going to go out and eat greasy things, high-rich foods, pizza, fatty meats, things like that, say brisket, drink some clay before you go and drink a little clay afterwards to absorb that excess cholesterol and grease. We've had people say that they've lowered their cholesterol with clay. So there you go. Now, Pat in Austin, I'm using clay externally, but I'm still leery about taking it internally. Help. Also, can you take too much? Well, very good question, Clay. And I mean, Pat, and that's a common question for people just starting out. I know when I was first introduced to clay, my first thought was, you want me to do what? Eat dirt? You've got to be kidding. And I resisted it first. I would just look at it, and I couldn't get myself to try it. But I actually, when I closed my eyes and took a mouthful of the clay water and just held it in my mouth, there was absolutely no taste. And you should get that with a good clay. It was not salty. It was not sweet. It was not bitter. It was not tart. It was nothing but cold. It just felt cool. And after you drink it, there's a slight chalky taste in your mouth and one sip of water, and that's gone. Now, remember, you can also put it in juices or smoothies, your green smoothies, a health drink. You can put your clay, add it to that. It'll kind of thicken it a little bit. So there are a lot of ways you can camouflage it if you're leery about taking it because of what it looks like. Now, I can say that the Living Clay brand is laboratory tested. They have their clay tested to meet food grade standards. But clay isn't a food because it has no calories. So we can't advertise it as a food. But they don't make any healing claims with the clay on the website itself. But there is an educational site called aboutclay.com. Lots of articles, lots of testimonials. We store the interviews from our clay seminars and radio interviews are there. There's some video clips showing how they mix the clay and a little bit of the warehouse stored on that site. So that's a good place to get help. And I would say 90% of our customers take the clay internally. It's a preference, a choice to do it. Generally, you notice right away you feel better, you have more energy, you're going to the bathroom regularly. A few people, when they first start taking it, may have constipation. Now, it is not from the clay. It is caused, the clay is pulling out old putrefied fecal matter that's lining your colon and keeping the food from being absorbed, the nutrients and your vitamins from going into your body. So when it gets that out of the way, that's when you start feeling more energy. But this stuff has been lodged in there, and it's said that we have 5 to 10 pounds of old fecal matter laden with parasites all stuck in the crevices of our lower colon. And when it pulls that out, it's kind of hard and dark and smelly, and it blocks the pipes. So do whatever you need to do to keep your janitorial services working. Everybody has what they like to take. You can take magnesium tablets, 250 milligrams. They're very mild. It's not like a strong laxative. There's a smooth move tea. There are different herbs you can take. Some people like to take the psyllium husk. It just bloats me, but it works for a lot of people. So find what you can do to keep that working. Can you take too much? It is said you'd have to take 25% of your body weight to overdose on clay. So a 100-pound person would have to sit down to a helping of 25 pounds of clay per day. So I think you're pretty safe there. Now, that being said, there are a few people, and it's rare, that are either extremely toxic or they're very sensitive, and they may want to start, if you know you're sensitive to chemicals and other things, start with a small dose. Just take a teaspoon the first day and see how you do, and then you can build up and find your level. Generally, the worst thing you're going to have is a rash, a breakout of a rash. That's a sign of detoxing too fast. It's showing the clay's working, but you want to back off and just do it a little bit slower and give your body time to get rid of the toxins. So during this time period, you want to drink a lot of water during the day to help flush out what the clay is getting loose. And you can also take clay baths. All right, I'm going to go back and see if I can find if we have any more questions. Okay, Ginger and Centerpoint. Hi, Ginger. Do you know about fulvic acid? Guess it is a sedimentary rock that dissolves bad calcium and is supposed to help absorb good nutrients. Is there any comparison with it and calcium bentonite clay? Yes, it's similar in a lot of its actions. But just remember that your calcium bentonite clay, your living clay, the smectite family of clays, is the only one that both adsorb and absorb. So it has a larger capacity for holding toxins. Adsorption is a ring around the surface area of the clay that's kind of like Velcro. And the ions there are from your dominant minerals like your calcium, your phosphorus, your magnesium, your iron, your sodium. So these will exchange. This is the exchangeable layer, and they will throw off a calcium and take on one of the baddies. So it will throw off and get rid of a negative one to take on, to make space for the positive one. Absorption is between the layers. Imagine a bentonite particle as a little layer of business cards, very thin business cards, all stacked together. When you hydrate the clay, those layers expand and there is space between the layers. There are two tetrahedral layers with the octahedral layer in the middle. These are chemical terms, and it makes like a little cage of geometric figures in there. A strong drawing power is in there, and the negative ion is in there. And that's where the toxin are drawn into the clay molecule and captured. They get in there, they can't get out. The ionic charge is too strong. They're held captive and is carried out of the body. So I like the calcium bentonite clay. A lot of people use the fulvic acid. You might mix them together if you want. Clay will, too. It dissolves cysts. Things like gout is uric acid. And I have seen it just do remarkable things with broken bones, even though it's not absorbed into the body. Applying it to broken bones, if you can get it, if you're in a splint and not a cast, where you can put the clay directly on the part, like a wrist, broken wrist. We've healed two broken wrists in 3 weeks' time. And they were able to take the splint off and go back to doing what they were doing by putting daily applications of poultice, if you will, a thick application of clay all the way around the joint area. One gentleman said he had been soaking it in the Epsom salts water trying to get swelling down for a week before I found out about him and took the clay to him. And the first thing he noticed after the first night was the swelling went down and he could move his fingers a little. So clay is very good to help heal bones. It just has so many uses. I don't know if I can get into them in one day's time, and that's why I wrote the book. So look at the book. Janet Lancaster in San Diego. Hi, Janet. Anything drinking clay could not be mixed with? Good question. Let's see. What can it not be mixed? It will tell you what it doesn't want to be mixed with because you will notice an odor or maybe gas or bubbles or something like that. Generally, your foods you can mix it with. It doesn't hurt your nutrients. There's a lot of myths out there because clay is so strong drawing. Will it draw my vitamins and my nutrients? Well, that's all clay is trace minerals. So why would it draw itself? It's just trace minerals with a strong electromagnetic charge, and it doesn't, the minerals don't break down to be absorbed into the body like a mineral supplement. And yet it will make many of the minerals that you take more bioavailable and enable them to be absorbed into the body. So it's kind of a strange cow trying to decide that. You can mix it with chocolate milk, juices, smoothies, fruit smoothies, vegetable smoothies, your green drink. Gee, I just can't think of what you couldn't mix it with. There might be some herbs that it doesn't like. If you're going to mix it with the essential oils, hydrate the clay first. Don't try to mix it into the powder clay and thicken it with the oil because the clay won't expand and swell. So if you're going to mix your oils in with the clay, just do a drop or two. You'll be surprised how strong it will come through. And put it into the pre-mix, the clay mask, or the liquid clay. But don't put your oils directly into the powder to hydrate the clay with. All right. Let me go back and see if we can find some more questions. Good day. I do want to tell you that we are having a guest speaker next time to join me on the show. Her name is Carol Bilch. She is a healer in the Austin area and just a wonderful person. She found the clay and researched it, wrote an article in her blog after she got some and started working. She works massage, Reiki, lymphatic draining, a lot of things like this, but she's very into how clay has helped in therapy. More and more practitioners, chiropractors and all are discovering clay and using it. And what I want to thank your listeners, because when you all tell them about the clay, that incites a lot of them to start exploring it, and then they find it's quite valuable, and they really, really enjoy it. So it looks like we are done with our questions today. Ah, here's one. Can you store hydrated clay mask in plastic? If it's a food-grade plastic, this is Lena from Barnstaple, England. Welcome, Lena. Good to have you from the UK. We have many friends there. Yes, you want a food-grade plastic, something that it's safe to store food in, so it won't pull out the petrochemicals. And glass is always acceptable. Just don't use metal. Reason being, because clay draws heavy metals. If it's a metal that will deteriorate, it will deteriorate, speed up the deterioration like tin, like your pickling and canning jars that have the metal lids. It will, if you leave the clay in contact with it, it's going to rust them. If you leave an everyday teaspoon, you know, with a cheap coating on it in clay for a day or two, when you pull it out, it's going to be rusting around the edges, the blades of your blender. And we use the blender for mixing. Temporary contact with metal, it's not going to hurt it. You just don't want to leave it in contact with it. So be sure and wash your blender blades after you mix it. And when you, particularly if you're mixing it for just making up a batch of clay or mixing it for a clay bath, be sure and wash that off. Now, it's not going to hurt metal joints that are in your body, things of that nature, because clay is not absorbed into the bloodstream, and these metals do not deteriorate. They are not going, it's just like it, when I brush my teeth, I pack my gums with clay, use it in my mouth a lot, I swish with clay, and it doesn't hurt your fillings in that nature. Now, if you have leaky mercury fillings, it's going to draw the mercury that leaks out. So if you're looking at having mercury fillings removed, or if you know you have old amalgam of mercury fillings, you want to swish with clay maybe 3 times a day. Be sure and drink it all during the day so it can absorb what leaks out during the day and before it captures it, before it goes into the body. So that's another benefit there. So good to have you from England. Thank you for joining us on this teleseminar today. Barbara Talley. Hi, Barbara, my good friend Barbara. Since the clay is just minerals, do you still need to take additional calcium? Also, can it help multiple sclerosis? Gotten a lot of questions lately about multiple sclerosis. And like I said earlier, if you were on the call, it's not going to stop the progression of multiple sclerosis, as far as I know. It will help support the body and the immune system so they're less likely to get diseases and sickness. It's going to keep the body in balance. So indirectly, it'll be beneficial for them. So since clay is just minerals, do you still need to take additional calcium? Yes. The amount of clay, the mineral, the calcium in clay that is thrown off to take on another positive ion in the exchange process is very small. It's not enough to consider a supplement. So you do need to take your supplements and your minerals. The clay, the minerals in clay are bound together. The charge, the heat, the thermodynamics from the volcanic eruption, like, fused all the minerals together. So they act as a whole. It's like all the chemical ingredients that go to make up a tire don't break out. You just have the rubber tire. So the clay minerals are pretty much bound together. Now, ironically, the body, through enzymatic action, can send enzymes to the clay and take what it needs, because we do know it helps with bone density. We do know it helps enrich the blood, stop anemia, and it does this through enzymatic action. There was a study in France, and they had these shrimp that were found living in pools of clay water, nothing but clay and water, the bentonite clay. And when they would take them out, they would die. And the biologist said, there is no way they can live in there. There is no nutritional value in clay. It does not have a glycemic index. It doesn't have calories. So it can't support the body. And yet they could live in there, and they couldn't live on the outside. They determined the shrimp had enzymes that would break down the clay. This is where it's capable of chemical change, and make peptide chains that made protein, so the body could indirectly get protein from the clay without breaking out all the minerals in the clay. It's fine chemistry. Clay is just an unusual animal, if you will, and this is why FDA rulings don't really apply to it. They don't realize that the toxins that come in contact with clay are captured and held and carried out. It doesn't kill the bacteria. It draws them inside the clay molecule and cuts them off from their source of nutrition and source of supply. Your bad bacteria thrive in moist, acidic regions in the body. They like acid. Acid is a medium in which they grow and mature and replicate. So when it's cut off from that, they die. It just kind of starves them to death. This way, the body doesn't build up a resistance to the medicine giving to kill the product. The chemical, and most of the time we take chemical medicines to kill off bacteria, and eventually the body builds up a resistance to it, and they no longer work. And that's why clay keeps working, because it just merely stifles them, captures them, carries them out, or cuts them off from its source of nutrition to where they die. Ginger, I'm very interested in clay that is used to plaster walls, including concrete basement walls. I've found some mold in the basement and wondering if the clay plaster will keep mold from reforming. Where could I buy the plastering clay, and would plastering the wall at the head of my bed improve my health? I drink and use living clay every day, and I'm starting to notice some improvement in my health. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us, Perry. Bless you. Thank you, Ginger. And Ginger, you've been on before, and I appreciate your questions and your support. There is a growing popularity in using clay in plaster walls because of the mold content, and there are a lot of places out there. I think if you Google plastic walls, plaster made with clay, that you can find sources of it. A lot of the new age green living things are using it, and yes, it does help with the mold problem. I don't know if you put it on the head of the bed, if it's going to directly affect your health or not, but, you know, I would like to have it around me. The Indians used to live in clay dugouts, and they would, they had little clay caves and little houses, and in fact, you can go to some areas. I have some pictures of them. There's one on the back of the book showing how they dug into the clay wall and cut a hole out and an opening there. The walls were very thick. They lived in the desert, and it was good insulation. It kept it cool inside, and I suspect they were very, very healthy living in that environment. I want to find a medical doctor to work with to make a plaster cast for broken bones to help speed the healing process, because I know if you can keep the clay on there directly, but then they do need to set the bone so it doesn't slip out again until the healing can take place. So we still have a lot of investigation to doing. That's a very good question, and I'm going to research a little of that too and see what I can find on that. I have seen things before about plaster and walls, so it's coming about. And Barbara asked, can I give the clay to children? Barbara, yes, you can. I give it to my grandson. He loves fruit, and he will eat it until his mouth breaks out and he's raw and he gets diarrhea. And it will settle his stomach. It'll bring it back into balance. For little babies with colic, maybe a fourth of a teaspoon of the liquid clay in their milk. It's just beneficial. Kids have parasites. They have pinworms. They pick them up. And they're out there playing in the dirt all the time, which is good. You know, there are a lot of books now about grounding and how we used to live barefoot and we were connected to the earth and there is a grounding with the earth. And this is another way the clay has played such an important part in our lives. So putting it on you would just be like really getting connected with the earth and grounding yourself. Children, you can give it to them in their milk, in their juice, and I know there are children with eczema. I would give them a little bit in their juice, depending on how much they weigh, from a fourth of a teaspoon to for a tiny baby up to a teaspoon, and then when you get, depending on how much they weigh, you can increase it, and I think it's wonderful. My grandson, when he gets a stomachache or something like that, he will ask for it. He will come up and he said, Mina, I don't feel good. Can I have some clay? So they know, they realize. We had a little boy that was running in the house and playing and he fell and hit his head and this goose head came on and we put the clay on. He was screaming bloody murder in his grandmother's lap. We put the clay on it, and immediately, within a minute, he stopped crying and got down running and playing. And he associated right then and there that if something hurts, put clay on it. And when after that, I gave his mother some, his grandmother some, and said any time something hurt, he would come in and ask for the clay. So children are very intuitively wise to that, and appreciate that question, and Barbara, appreciate having you on the site. Barbara was the one that told me about the 83-year-old woman that had the eczema all over her body. So thank you all for listening. That's our time for today. And remember, next month we're having a guest who will help me answer questions, and we're going to go for an hour next time and do a little more and discussing what clay is and does. And in the meantime, go get some clay and improve your life. Clay today and health tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.